If you love the History Extra podcast, make sure you follow us to keep up to date and get all the latest episodes. Thanks for your support, and I do hope you enjoy this episode.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/History Extra. Just go to Indeed.com/History Extra right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a special festive edition of the History Extra podcast from BBC History Magazine, Britain's best-selling history magazine. I'm Ellie Cawthorne. Today we've got something a bit different for our podcast, our festive Christmas quiz, which we do every year. And so in the studio with me today in our Bristol office, I've got various members of the BBC History Magazine team.
Hello!
We've got five rounds, each of which will have five questions. We'll ask all the questions and then go through and tell you the answers round by round. So if you're sat down, now is the time to get out your pens and papers. For our first round, which is about Christmas food, we've got our deputy digital editor, Eleanor Evans Above. Please take it away.
Question one. Christmas pudding is usually mixed on Stir Up Sunday, the last Sunday before Advent, but how far in advance do Greenlanders prepare their traditional Christmas dish of kiviak? Is it A, 3 hours, B, 3 weeks, or C, 3 months? Question two. How many dishes are there in the traditional Ukrainian Christmas dinner? Is it A, 12, B, 8, or C, 3? Question three. Which of these is a traditional South African Christmas food? A, emperor moth caterpillars, B, black mamba snakes, or C, gnu sausage? Question four. What colour were the original Christmas candy canes? A, all pink, B, all white, or C, red and white? Question five. In 15th century Germany, you could be arrested for making what at any time other than Christmas or Easter? Is it A, Christmas pudding, B, tinsel, or C, gingerbread?
And now time for the answers.
And the answer to question one, how far in advance do Greenlanders prepare their traditional Christmas dish of kiviak? The answer was C, 3 months. Winning the award for longest preparation time, Greenland's traditional Christmas dish, kiviak, takes a full 3 months to prepare. It begins with hollowing out a sealskin and stuffing it with 500 auks, a seabird, feathers and all, to ferment. When the holidays arrive, it's best served straight from the seal.
Definitely not.
Question number two. How many dishes are there in the traditional Ukrainian Christmas dinner? The answer was A, 12. There are 12 dishes in the traditional Ukrainian Christmas dinner, served as supper on Christmas Eve, each dish being dedicated to one of Christ's apostles. Question number three. Which of these is a traditional South African food? The answer was A, emperor moth caterpillars. South Africa is home to some of the world's most unusual holiday food fare. Every December, locals feast on a seasonal delicacy, the deep-fried caterpillars of emperor moths. Question number four, what colour were the original Christmas candy canes? The answer was B, all white. The candy canes' origins can be traced back to Europe circa 1670, but they didn't appear in the US until the 1800s. They were generally all white until the 1900s, when they took on a shape representing Jesus' hook for shepherding his lambs, and colours representing purity, white, and Christ's sacrifice, red. And question number five. In 15th century Germany, you could be arrested for making what at any time other than Christmas? The answer was C, gingerbread. In 15th century Germany, gingerbread making was such a serious undertaking that you had to be a member of a gingerbread guild to make it. The only exemptions were for personal use at Christmas and Easter.
Now it's time to move on to round two, which is all about Christmas music. So to ask the questions this round, we've got BBC World History's editor, Matt Elfton.
Question one, why don't the NYPD choir sing Galway Bay at Christmas? Is it A, because it's an Easter song, B, because it was banned in 1975, or C, because the NYPD don't have a choir? Question two, why did the BBC ban Bing Crosby's hit I'll Be Home for Christmas? Is it A, because there was a war on, B, because it was too sentimental, or C, because it wasn't in the public interest? Question three, what did astronaut Thomas P. Stafford claim to have seen from space on 16th of December 1965? Was it A, Christmas lights, B, the Aurora Borealis, or C, Santa Claus? Question four, despite the song lyric, why are you unlikely to find a partridge in a pear tree? Is it A, because they're allergic to pears, B, because they're ground dwellers, or C, because pear trees won't grow in climates that partridges prefer? Question five. On December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, families in Catalonia bring out the Tio de Nadal, a hollow log with legs made of sticks, a happy face, and a red hat. The children are asked to feed the log with nuts, dried fruit, and water, and cover it with a blanket to keep it warm every night until Christmas Eve. What is the colloquial name for the log? Is it A, the Yule log, B, the poo log, or C, the captain's log?
And now it's time for the answers for round two.
So question one was, why don't the NYPD choir sing Galway Bay at Christmas? The answer is C, because the NYPD don't have a choir. Despite the line in the Pogues' Fairy Tale of New York, the NYPD doesn't have a choir. When making their video, the Pogues invited the NYPD Pipe and Drums Band to appear in the music video instead. Unfortunately, the band didn't know the words to Galway Bay, so they sang the Mickey Mouse Club theme instead. The sound was removed and the footage slowed down, so you can't tell. Question two, why did the BBC ban Bing Crosby's hit I'll Be Home for Christmas? If you said any of the answers, you've got it right. The song was banned during World War II, as many would, of course, not be home for Christmas. A 1942 directive on their censoring policy read, "We have recently adopted a policy of excluding sickly sentimentality, which, particularly when sung by certain vocalists, can become nauseating and not at all in keeping with what we feel to be the need of the public in this country." Question three, what did astronaut Thomas P. Stafford claim to have seen from space? It was C, Santa Claus. On December the 16th, 1965, US astronauts Walter M. Wally Schirra Jr. and Thomas P. Stafford were preparing re-entry into Earth's atmosphere in Gemini 6. As they manoeuvred, Stafford contacted Mission Control about a UFO. He said, "We have an object. Looks like a satellite going from north to south, probably in polar orbit. Looks like he might be going to re-enter soon. You just might let me pick up that thing. I see a command module and eight smaller modules in front. The pilot of the command module is wearing a red suit." Before Mission Control could respond, Schirra began playing jingle bells on a harmonica he had smuggled in his spacesuit. He was accompanied by Stafford, playing smuggled sleigh bells. Question four, despite the song lyric, why are you unlikely to find a partridge in a pear tree? The answer was B, they're ground dwellers. Because partridges are ground dwellers and ground nesters, they don't often climb up any tree. And question five, on December the 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, families in Catalonia bring out a log. The colloquial name for the log was B, the poo log. When Christmas Eve arrives, the children gather round the log and beat it with sticks while singing a traditional song. The song goes,
poo log,
poo nuggets,
hazelnuts and matzo cheese. If you don't poo well, I'll hit you with a stick. Poo log.
After that, the blanket is removed to reveal a pile of sweets and gifts that the log has apparently pooped out. When the gifts have all been collected, the family burns the log to keep warm.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/History Extra. Just go to Indeed.com/History Extra right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We don't always realize just how much our negative thoughts and experiences stick with us and weigh us down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mum does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/historyextra today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/historyextra.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And so now it's time for round three, which is all about animals and called the ox and the ass. So to ask the questions for this round, we've got our digital editorial assistant, Rachel Christmas Dinning.
Question one. Which of these animals used to be hunted on the 26th of December? Is it A, wrens, B, stags, or C, bears? Question two. On Christmas morning 1993, Puck said, "It's Christmas. That's what's happening. That's what it's all about. I love Pucky. I love everyone." Who was Puck and what is so unusual about that? Is the answer A, Puck was a computer, B, Puck was a budgie, or C, Puck was a fish? Question three. What Christmas lucky charm did Polish people traditionally keep in their wallets? Is it A, fish scales, B, rabbit's feet, or C, deer's ears? Question four. What used to be the centrepiece of a traditional Swiss Christmas dinner? Is it A, roast cat, B, roast dog, or C, roast boar? Question five. Which of these can't the real Rudolph have had? A, a shiny nose, B, antlers, or C, a sleigh?
And now it's time for the answers to round three.
Question one asked which animal used to be hunted on the 26th of December, and the answer was A, wrens. In many countries, the 26th of December is known as Wren Day. The tradition consists of hunting a fake wren and putting it on top of a decorated pole. Then, the crowds of mummers, or straw boys, celebrate the wren by dressing up in masks, straw suits, and colourful motley clothing. They form music bands and parade through towns and villages. In the early 20th century and before, real wrens were hunted by wren boys on St. Stephen's Day. The captured wren was tied to the wren boy leader's staff or put in a net on a pitchfork. Question two asked who was Puck and what was so unusual about what they said on Christmas Day 1993. The answer was B, Puck was a budgie. Puck was the Guinness World Record holder for the bird with the largest vocabulary. He knew 1,728 words and was able to create his own phrases. Question three asked what Christmas lucky charm did Polish people traditionally keep in their wallets? And the answer was A, fish scales. Carp is a popular Christmas dish in Poland, and it's considered good luck to take the scales from the fish and put them in your wallet until the next Christmas. Question four asked what used to be the centrepiece of a traditional Swiss Christmas dinner? And the answer was A, roast cat. Roast cat in white wine and garlic sauce was the traditional Christmas dinner around Bern and in the Jura and Lucerne. In 2014, animal rights groups petitioned the Swiss government to ban the eating of pets. Question five asked which of these can't the real Rudolph have had? And the answer was A, a shiny nose. Reindeer are the only deer species which have hairy noses rather than shiny and moist. Interestingly, only female reindeer still have antlers at Christmas time, so perhaps Rudolph was a lady.
So now it's time for our fourth round of questions, a royal celebration. To ask the questions this round, we have section editor at BBC History Magazine, John Borbalcombe.
So question one, why was James VI and I so keen to get hold of the Bishop of Ely's Christmas Day sermon? Is it A, he wanted to read the prophecies in it? Is it B, he wanted to sleep with it? Or is it C, he wanted to see if he was mentioned in it? Question two, former King's Messenger John Canning once arrived in Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia at Christmas with 20 huge travel bags. The only thing he actually had to deliver was a tiny pouch containing his playslip. So what was the rest for? Is it A, Christmas presents for local children? Is it B, Christmas dinner? Or is it C, decorations for the British Embassy? Question three, which member of the royal family introduced Christmas trees to Britain? Was it A, Henry VIII? B, Queen Charlotte? Or C, Prince Albert? Question four, how many people listened to the Queen's speech in 1969? Is it A, 5 million, B, none, or C, 21 million? Question five, who was the Trafalgar Square Christmas tree originally a gift from? Is it A, the Queen, B, Prime Minister Clement Attlee, or C, King Haakon of Norway?
So now it's time for the answers to round four.
So question one was, why was James I so keen to get hold of the Bishop of Ely's Christmas Day sermon? The answer was actually B, he wanted to sleep with it. The sermons of Lancelot Andrews, then Bishop of Ely, were so popular with James I that he ordered the Christmas Day sermon of 1609 to be delivered to him immediately so that he might sleep with it under his pillow. Question two, which was why the former King's Messenger John Canning arrived with 20 huge travel bags in Ulaanbaatar. Well, the answer was B, Christmas dinner. The other bags contained Christmas food and drink to sustain him and his party as they travelled back across the Gobi Desert. So question three, which was which member of the royal family introduced Christmas trees to Britain? The answer was B, Queen Charlotte. The first known Christmas tree in Britain was erected at Queen's Lodge, Windsor, by Queen Charlotte, the German-born wife of George III, for a party for the children of the leading families in Windsor at the turn of the 19th century. Queen Adelaide always had one, and the young Princess Victoria recorded her delight at the Christmas tree at Kensington Palace in 1832. What Albert did was encourage its adoption by the general populace, but it had been popular amongst royals for decades before. So the answer to question four, which was how many people listened to the Queen's speech in 1969, was B, none. This is the only time in the Queen's reign that there hasn't been a Queen's speech. This was because a documentary had been made over the summer about the royals, so the palace thought that was probably enough time taken out of the schedule. As a result, she just issued a written message instead. So question five, which was who was the Trafalgar Square Christmas tree originally a gift from? The answer was actually C, King Haakon of Norway. The annual tradition of bringing a Christmas tree from Norway to London began in 1947. It was a thank you gift from King Haakon, who had fled to London when his country was invaded by the Nazis. He then lived there in exile, along with the Norwegian government. Each year, the people of Norway still send a tree as a sign of their gratitude for Britain's support during the war.
So now it's time for our fifth and final round on Christmas traditions. To ask the questions this round, making her first appearance on the History Extra podcast, we've got our group art editor, Suzanne Frankincense.
Question one. Christopher Columbus's son, Hernando Colon, bought himself 700 of these for Christmas in 1521. Is it A, turkeys, B, potatoes, or C, books? Question two. The 1903 essay, The Travesty of Christmas, supported what? Is it A, early shopping for Christmas, B, last-minute shopping for Christmas, or C, no shopping for Christmas? Question three. For which festival is it most likely to snow? Is it A, Christmas, B, Easter, or C, Candlemas? Question four. What traditionally did you have to do in Greek culture after kissing someone under the mistletoe? Is it A, slap them, B, marry them, or C, kiss them again? Question five. Which of these is a St. Lubbock's Day? Is it A, Boxing Day, B, Christmas Day, or C, Christmas Eve?
And now it's time for the answers to our final round, round five.
So question one, Christopher Columbus's son, Hernando Colon, bought himself 700 of what for Christmas 1521? It was C, books. Hernando Colon wanted to be a pantomath, someone who knows everything, so decided to read every book on earth. He bought 700 books in Nuremberg before moving on to Mainz, where he bought 1,000 more in the course of a month. It may have actually been possible to read every printed book when he was a boy, but by the time he was an adult, it was definitely impossible. Question two. What did the 1903 essay, The Travesty of Christmas, support? And the answer is A, early shopping for Christmas. Whilst we often complain that Christmas comes earlier every year, the 1903 essay, The Travesty of Christmas, argued that leaving the Christmas rush until December was unfair for shop clerks, messengers, and delivery boys, so everyone should shop early. Question three, for which festival is it most likely to snow? The answer is B, Easter. According to the Met Office, it is more likely to snow at Easter than at Christmas. Between 1981 and 2010, December averaged 3.9 days of snow, but March had 4.2. Statistics show the earlier Easter falls, the higher the chance of snow. Easter's, where falling sleet or snow has been recorded at a large number of weather stations, include most recently 2008 and 2013. More than 12 inches of snow was recorded on Easter Day 2010 in Inverness-shire. London has had only three official white Christmases since 1975, whereas Edinburgh has had eight. Question four. What traditionally did you have to do in Greece after kissing someone under the mistletoe? The answer is B, marry them. A kiss under the mistletoe was considered a promise of marriage in Greek culture. Question five, which of these is a St. Lubbock's Day? The answer is A, Boxing Day. In the mid-19th century, the UK only had four bank holidays. In 1871, the Bank Holidays Act was passed, designating another four additional days off: Easter Monday, Whit Monday, August Bank Holiday, and Boxing Day. In honour of the man who had campaigned for them, Sir John Lubbock, the new days were referred to as St. Lubbock's Days.
So that's all for today. We hope you enjoyed the quiz. And if you did, please do get in touch with us on social media to let us know how you got on. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and at historyextra.com. Thanks for listening. The questions for today's quiz were written by historian and QI writer Justin Pollard. Today's podcast was produced by Jack Snowman and Ben Yulelog. And there's one final message from the rest of us here at BBC History Magazine, which is...
Happy Christmas!